Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Jordan Roybern, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. We're going to be focusing on the metal sectors. It's a good day for metals, and I think even more importantly, a good day for the underlying resource and precious metal stocks. But Jordan, we've been talking off mic for a while here, and you even sent out a flash update to your subscribers about mid-morning today, actually early afternoon for the East Coast today. And one thing that really resonated with me is that you seem very encouraged by the precious metals sector because gold hasn't been going down. It's kind of been holding around 1800, even above 1800, and then today having a very good day moving higher. And you are encouraged by this because you're saying that, look, a lot of the macro factors and some other market factors should be pushing gold lower. And the fact that it's not pushing gold lower, the fact that we're not getting a further correction in the gold price, that's very encouraging. And then today, a pop higher in gold when none of these factors have really changed, that's further encouragement for you. Take us through these factors that you think should be weighing on the price of gold, where gold is, I guess, in a way, ignoring them.
Well, there's a few factors. The most important is real interest rates or real yields. We know that that is the most important driving force, the fundamental driver for precious metals and gold especially. And real interest rates, or if you look at real yields in the TIPS market, look at the real yields on the five-year TIPS, and they've been exploding higher in recent days than in the last couple of weeks. So, I mean, in the last couple of days, they've pushed higher by quite a bit. So it's been clear that real interest rates are rising almost aggressively, one could say, and gold is not pushing to the downside as it should be. So that in itself is really, really constructive. I mean, one thing I can remember, like the only kind of long period where gold didn't do that in recent decades was 2005, 2006, where gold actually had that massive breakout. And at the beginning of that, real interest rates were actually rising. They weren't declining. So that is one historical example. But so that's really the biggest thing. I mean, in addition to that, you have the market in recent days has priced in, I think, four full rate hikes this year. So you have that. You have bond yields across the spectrum have been rising. And we know that in recent times, you know, that has been negative for gold. You know, and at the same time, we see the stock market's been weakening. So with respect to, you know, miners and juniors, that could be a short-term negative. So you just look at all these factors with respect to gold especially, and they're telling you that gold should be breaking lower, that it shouldn't be pushing higher above very short-term resistance. So the fact that gold is acting the way it is amidst all these what should be negative factors, that's telling you something. And it's just quite simply, when a market should be going down and it's not, the question is, okay, when is it going to go down then? And the answer to that, it's a rhetorical question, but the answer is it's not. So now that doesn't necessarily mean gold is going to explode to the upside. It still has to take out some key levels here. You know, we still have gold's tendency to decline before the first hike. You know, that's happened in the last three rate hike cycles. But if you look at the 1976, for example, and I think there was a time 93, 94, and also in the mid 80s where gold, it actually bottomed sometime before the hike started, and those tended to be more inflationary periods than the recent ones. So, I mean, that's another thing to consider. So it's just, it's very interesting. We're coming to a very interesting time. There's not a lot of historical precedent, but that's just the major takeaway for me, more than, you know, gold breaking above certain levels, is it should be going down. There's some really bad news for gold right now, but it's not going down. So the market with respect to gold is anticipating something completely different. The market's obviously sniffing out that at some point this year, maybe later this year or next year, that the fundamentals are going to turn really bullish for gold.
Well, Jordan, you had mentioned, I think a couple of weeks back, that there was a potential coming out of tax law selling in December, in that depressed environment, for there to be a bounce into January regardless of the macro backdrop, that still had the potential of happening. January is one of the strongest seasonal months, and it's also just that normal boomerang effect. But you just said something there in your opening response that, you know, this may have changed the direction, since it's not pulling back when it should be, that gold may keep plowing further higher. Does that take away the risk then of that pull down before the rate hike? Sometimes the 2 months before the rate hike, you know, is a rough patch for the precious metals. Do you think this has fundamentally changed that now, where we may not get that pullback?
Yeah, I mean, I would lean towards yes. I think there has been a fundamental change. I would reference what happened in the, you know, rate hike regimes in the 70s into the 90s. I think in a couple of those cases, gold bottomed. You know, 1976, I think it bottomed a couple months before, you know, before the Fed started hiking. So, I mean, that's a historical precedent. Because, you know, looking at the rate hike regime, that's a question I've had recently. Like, are we going to be in something similar to the last three, or is this going to be, you know, more like the 70s and 80s? But aside from that, I mean, number one, the fact that the precious metals market should be going lower and it's not, that's really, really powerful. And I think if gold can go above there's trend line resistance around 1850 to 1855 on the daily chart. You know, then you have 1900. I think if gold can take that out, then I would enthusiastically pound the table and say, yes, like it's not going to do that. But at the same time, you know, we still have 2 days left this week and there's still 2 months before that first hike. So I don't want to rule that out completely. I mean, the negative scenario would be maybe gold consolidates. I mean, at this point, I think you could probably toss out precious metals making new lows. Like, that to me is totally unrealistic at this point, you know, unless there's some massive reversal to the downside here in the next couple days. I mean, as long as you don't get that, like, the worst is definitely over for the sector. And then in that case, the worst would be, you know, maybe we get gold and gold stocks just consolidating and not breaking higher here before the hike. Like, that could be the negative. But at the same time, you know, another thing to consider, in 1976, I think a few of the other cycles before the late 90s, gold, I think it bottomed. I don't have the charts in front of me, but I think it bottomed before the Fed started hiking. And if you look generally from the 70s to the late 90s, that was a long period where gold was more correlated with rising rates. So there is some historical precedent for gold doing what it's doing now in that respect. I mean, it's been kind of tricky recently trying to figure out what kind of regime are we in. Are we in, you know, the last three rate hike cycles, or are we going to be in something closer to the 70s and 80s? And so I think the action of the last week or two in the sector right now, it's telling you maybe this is going to be closer to the 70s and 80s.
Well, that's very encouraging, Jordan, especially for the precious metals bugs. Probably not overly encouraging for all those that don't want a recession to come and want things to kind of move along smoothly. But it does sound like things, or at least the markets are telling us through the gold price, that things might not be moving that smoothly. How much, though, is this all just simply expectations for how many times the Fed is going to hike? It wasn't that long ago, just last year, that the Fed was saying that they weren't even thinking about talking about hiking rates. And now all of a sudden, we're still in the first month of 2022, and everybody seems to be convinced that there are 4 rate hikes. If, let's say, some of those expectations dissipate a little bit and maybe the Fed comes out and says, you know what, 4 is a bit aggressive, maybe it's down to 3, could the gold market, and again, we're just talking gold in this sense, could they be telling us that those expectations have gotten too over-exaggerated? And again, they're just expectations.
Yes, I mean, I think it's, with respect to what gold is telling us, I think it's one of two things. It's either, as you said, there's no effing way, excuse my language, but the gold market in scenario number one is saying there's no effing way, Federal Reserve, you're going to be able to pull off what you're saying. Like, it's just not going to happen. That's one thing. But the second thing that gold could be saying is maybe inflation is going to cause a recession, and the Fed is just going to have to hike aggressively to begin with. And so I think that's another viable scenario, because look, I mean, we have the oil prices going up, and we know that could be a cause of recession. Yields are rising across the curve, but the curve itself is flattening because short-term yields are screaming higher. So you have the problem with oil. And then secondly, you know, you could have an inverted yield curve. I mean, that's a potential risk later this year. I mean, we already have consumer confidence, which is pretty low. So you look at all these factors. I mean, you really could have a stagflationary situation this year. So, I mean, I think the gold market is sniffing out one of those two things.
I think that makes a lot of sense, Jordan. And it's the closest comparable we have is probably the 70s, where you have the high fuel cost and high energy cost, rising wages, which is causing businesses to raise their prices, an inflationary backdrop, negative real rates. And it took a while for gold and the precious metals to get going, but they eventually did get on the move. Let me ask you this. What about the mining stocks? I mean, we're also seeing silver lead gold, which is encouraging, but we're also seeing GDX and GDXJ kind of get out of the danger zone. What do you make of the movement in the mining stocks?
It's very encouraging because I think it would be perfectly reasonable to see this move in gold, but to see silver and the stocks especially kind of underperform and kind of fall in line with the stock market being weak. You know, I could see that being a scenario, at least until gold broke above 1900. Well, I haven't been following silver that much in the last day or two. I mean, I know it had a good move yesterday, but a quick comment on that. I mean, going back to the quarterly charts, silver has really, really stiff resistance, as we know, at around 25, whereas gold only has that resistance at 1900. Silver has a lot more heavy lifting to do, whereas gold really doesn't have that much resistance left. But I mean, it's good to see the miners doing well. And I mean, just look at like a 3-year chart of GDX or GDXJ and put the 200-day moving average on it. I mean, GDX, for example, I mean, that's tested the 200-day 3 or 4 times in the last 6 months, you know, when it has been correcting and trending lower. And I mean, after the move today, I mean, it looks like it closed less than 1% below the 200-day. I mean, it looked, based on the price action and the shape of everything, I would lean towards it's likely to break above that. It's more likely that that will happen than not over the coming days and weeks. And I mean, obviously that would be another good sign. I mean, that's a good confirmation of gold strength.
So overall, we're focusing on this 200-day moving average, probably most importantly, at least right now, into the end of this week and into the end of this month. Any other key levels that you think or that you would prefer to see gold or GDX or GDXJ hold by the end of this week and then extend that to the end of this month?
I would just like to see gold especially break above that initial trend resistance at 1850 to 1855. If it does that on the daily chart, I think that it's not going to be negated by a weekly or monthly close. I mean, there's obviously still some time left, but I think if gold can take out that trend resistance and rally back to, you know, 1880, maybe test 1900, I mean, that's going to be a really, really good sign. And so that's the first question now is, can we see it take out that trend line at 1850, 1855? And I think assuming gold takes out that resistance, then you're going to get the GDX and GDXJ, then you're going to get them pushing above the 200-day moving averages by a, you know, decent enough margin. So I think that, you know, I think that those are the levels to watch for in the coming days. And then after that point, I mean, we can worry about monthly closes. But I mean, with respect to gold, if we can take out that trend line at 1850 to 1855, that makes me a lot less worried about, you know, a weekly or a monthly close where it's all going to be given back.
Gold is so close to that too, 1843 on the futures as I'm seeing. So let's keep a close eye on some of those levels and that 200-day moving average. Hey, Jordan, it's encouraging to hear how bullish you are, at least right now, for the precious metals. And I understand the whole environment where gold should be going down, but it's actually moving higher. The argument being that last year gold should have been going up as it was correcting. So maybe a shift in sentiment, which is critical for this sector. Jordan, as always, man, thank you for your time. Great chatting with you. We'll chat next week and, who knows, hopefully be just as bullish on the metals. Have a great rest of your week there, Jordan.